about something that happened. They were talking about someone else. Someone else had been wronged by someone. And the person who was wrong was contemplating that, you know, I love this person, but I don't want anything else to do with them. And the person that I was talking to was defending that, saying, I understand, I wouldn't either. I went, ugh, my brain's going to explode. How does that register? I mean, I know that that's a challenge. That's big boy, big girl stuff, but that's not the gospel. That's the old man. And we've been redeemed. We've been liberated from that nonsense. That kind of thinking. And that kind of behavior. Anyway, there's some more scriptures on here about forgiveness. There's some stuff here. Redemption. I love this about liberation. This is the song, Romans 8:21. That the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And one of my favorite translations, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, having said that, we're going to see, before we get through, that God's redemptive plan involves the whole world, the created world also. And the whole creation is waiting, longing, we'll see those verses in a few minutes, to experience what you and I are the first fruits of. You see, we're the first fruit of God's redemptive work accomplished on the cross. And we're called, now hear this, we're called to carry that word of reconciliation and redemption into the world and manifest it and display it and establish it. This is Ephesians 3 again. Verse 8. To me, the very least of all saints, the grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the plan, it's the word administration, what is the plan of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. That's the finished work of Christ. In order that the manifold wisdom of God, again, the cross, the undoing of Adam, might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This is in accordance with the eternal purposes which God carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're the first fruit of the redemptive act of God, the redemptive plan. And that word and that ministry, that been given to us to carry into the world and spread liberation that He's already accomplished for them too. You with me? Galatians 5 said it was for freedom's sake, liberty's sake, that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Here's the great verse about redemption. Liberation from and liberation into. Liberation from what you did and liberation from what you were. That's redemption. New creation. Old taken care of, a new birth. For if while we're enemies, Romans 5:10, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, taking care of what I did. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in His life. Takes care of what we were. New creation. What we did, who we were. That's redemption. It's not just a cleansing. It's a new creation. But again, what he says in verse 7, in Him we have redemption. How? Through His blood. This is a scripture from Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. This is Hebrews 9:22. almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness. This is 1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Liberation. Not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. What we were, what we did, and who we were. We've been liberated from all of that. And it was accomplished without you doing one thing to help make it happen. The fall of man was so big, and the fallen condition of mankind in the world was so big. God did it without man's assistance, because there was nothing we could do to get ourselves out of the mess. That's really important. We're going to see, I'm going to throw this out extra because this is a nice, fun, encouraging word. When Christ died on the cross, He took care of what you did and who you were by including you in His death, His blood. He talks about His blood, He's talking about just giving His life. Because life is in the blood. He accomplished it by including you, and you'll see the whole cosmos was cleansed. And the engine of new creation has been released and will be manifested fully. Redemption is a now and yet to be kind of thing. Because even though we have redemption, Romans 8 says we're still longing for the redemption of our bodies. So we don't even have to believe God for healing, right? We won't ever deal with that kind of stuff. It's just we get a new glorified body that can hold glory. But when Christ died on the cross, you were in death with Him, and you died in Him, you were buried in Him, you rose again in Him, and then you were seated in the heavenly places with Him. Now, I sent out a little devotional today, and I had more fun with it. I wish I had more time to do it, but I was speeding through it just before we started. Think of the idea of, we won't have to do all that tonight, but we'll talk some about it Sunday. You were born into the kingdom. When you said yes to Jesus, you started out before you took one step of walk already seated. Seated is a finished work position. Jesus is not like the high priest who year after year, day by day, offers. He said, it's finished. He's seated. It's done. And you began your Christian life in a resting place. And it was resting in the finished work of Christ. And resting in the heavenly places. Therefore, everything that comes at you, every temptation, there's nothing you can do, nothing you have done to get victory, nothing you can do to get victory, other than believe in what He's already done. You're already resting in victory. Just relax in it. You're seated, so rest. Now, I don't know about you, but that really blows my mind. But we'll talk about more about that when we get into Ephesians chapter 2. If you're in Christ, then you have redemption. Therefore, it's always true and present for you, liberation. And therefore, your sins have been put away and cannot return, and that you are a new creation in Him, period. Now, I'm just going to read this because this is true about you. So everybody listen to me. This is true about you when you stumble tomorrow. But maybe you won't. You don't have to. When you stumble in sin. That in Him, you still have the forgiveness of your sins. It's a present tense thing. Because of His blood. Not because of anything you've done or need to do. In Him, you have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You have it because of His blood, because of His death, because of what He did. Again, when you stumble in sin, you still have forgiveness of your sins because of His blood, and you are still a new creation and filled with fresh newness of life and the hope that brings in hope in the next step. In other words, when I blow it, I'm forgiven. Now, if you go back and you read 1 John 1:9, the language there, literally grammar is, if we confess our sins in light of the fact that we're already forgiven, but we confess them because we won't be free if we're not honest and own our stuff, right? But forgiveness has already been provided. It just becomes applicable to my experience. I'm just, I'm forgiven. But we confess. He's faithful and just to forgive us, to have forgiven us of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when I blow it, I come to Him confessing in absolute confidence that I'm in Him and I have forgiveness. And I'm just there to appropriate it and receive it. I need to bathe in it. I need to be reminded of what His blood accomplished for me. And in that moment, I need to be reminded I'm still the new creation He accomplished at the cross. I've been liberated from who I was. I've been liberated from from the person who just did that. And therefore, I can go forward in absolute hope, knowing that I've been liberated in Christ. And that's still true about me. I didn't undo anything. It didn't go away because I blew it. I have a fresh start the next moment. And I can rest in that before I take the next step. That's a big deal, y'all. Because what the liar does, this doesn't give you permission to go and fail. But what the liar does is get you so wallowed up in guilt and condemnation, and then you got brothers and sisters or husbands and wives to help reinforce all that. Now, it doesn't mean that if you blow it at home, you can just be irresponsible and go, well, I ask you to forgive me, so get over it. That's not right. That's not very repentant. You understand what I'm saying? But the truth about you is that forgiveness didn't go away, and the new creation didn't go away. And the heart of the new creation is that you're in Christ. Christ is all in all. So what's the hope for you in the next step? Whatever Jesus is able, all that He is, all that you are in Him. In Him we have redemption. It happened through His blood. It was accomplished for us at the cross. The forgiveness of sins. And I love what He says here. According to the riches of His grace. Not out of the riches of His grace. He didn't take some of the grace and give it to you. It's according to how rich is His grace, which He lavished upon us. Isn't that cool? I like those kind of words. Which He lavished. And the word literally upon us is the word into us. That's one of the great verses in all Scripture. In the first part of that, verse 8. In Him. If you're in Jesus, you have redemption. You've been liberated from what you did and what you were. You're a new creation. Through His blood. Not through anything you've done or can do. It's just the truth. So we celebrate it and manifest it. It includes the forgiveness of sins and according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on you. The word lavish there is the same word in 2 Corinthians 9:8. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace. That word abound really means more than you need, more than we ever need. Great, we'll never outrun grace. You can't out-sin grace. where sin abounds, grace does abound all the more. Doesn't mean go sin. But aren't you glad? George just said he tried. Now in verse 8, he says this. And this is to me also really fun about redemption, about God's redemptive plan and God's redemptive purposes. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will. Now again, what's the mystery of His will? What's the great mystery? Jesus and His finished work at the cross. What was God's redemptive plan? Death and resurrection. That the whole cosmos and all humanity had to be cleansed, had to experience death, sin had to be paid for, and what once was had to die, and the new had to emerge. And that wasn't a plan that God thought of in panic after the fall of man. Jesus was slain for the foundation of the world. That's why, here's the cool thing, that's why it says in Ephesians about God's eternal purposes in Christ. So in wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intentions, which He purposed. So, if you like to write in your Bible, the word purpose, is the best translation is which He revealed. In all wisdom and insight, and He just talked about redemption, how it affects us, you know, the grace laid on us, but He's going to get bigger now. This is why this little part in your notes says that, in Christ, because of the redemption that's in Christ, history is going somewhere. And you and I, because of your own redemption, have wisdom and insight into that. That's really important. So that as human activity and human failure are being played out in front of us all the time, we don't despair. Because it seems like nothing but chaos. Let me just assure you, God's redemptive plan is moving forward. Again, in wisdom and insight, He made known to us, who are what? The redeemed, who are redeemed in Christ, the mystery of His will, according to His kind intentions, which He revealed in Christ, with a view to an administration or plan if you think about like a government that has their own administration and their own policies, this is God's plan, His stewardship, the way things are going to get stewarded, the way things God's going to, the word can be scheme. This is God's mystery. This is His plan. With a view to an administration to the plan suitable to the fullness of times, or plan that will be revealed in the fullness of time, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heaven and things in the earth. Trying to think how to go with this. Let me just read this little part to you. The cross was the climax of the ages. It was therefore the fullness of time. What is happening now in the world, in the present time that we live in, is that the great plan of God is being worked out in this fullness of time. In these last days, and it will continue until it's finally manifested. We have wisdom and insight into the truth that God's redemptive plan for the whole world is moving forward and taking place around us instead of being troubled by what the world tells us is actually happening. Just making sense. Because you are in Christ and you are the product of redemption, liberated, you have insight because you are the result of the cross. You're a new creation, cleansed and recreated as a result of the finished work of Jesus. And therefore, you and I have insight. We're like a micro... We have this micro insight into God's great plan that's being fulfilled on the earth. And it's the plan of redemption. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the cross, according to His kind intentions, which He revealed in Jesus with a view to a plan suitable to the fullness of times. And that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. The word to sum up literally should be translated, get it together. That everything is going to get it together in Christ. Whether things in the heavens or things on the earth. That's what redemption does. It gets it together. It could also be the word whole. You were made whole because of the finished work of Jesus that you said yes to. Every human being is potentially made whole because Christ died on the cross for everybody. Our role as a church is to go out and proclaim the redemptive plan of God so people will say yes to it. Our role as a church is to reveal liberation, to enforce the victory that Jesus won, to decree the victory, to manifest the victory, and to establish the victory that Christ won over everything He won over. When you talk to somebody about Jesus, you're the redemptive plan of God in person. You're the first fruits. Saying to them, God wants you to be liberated. Not just from going to hell one day, but He wants you to be liberated from who you've been. The life you've lived. Saying that to Christians. We're still discovering. It's how amazing how much Christians don't understand redemption. And of course that's true with Paul. That's why he wrote these letters. He's saying, Jesus accomplished all this for you. Now, go be. Be the new creation and go forth and declare the new creation. Figure this out. So you can start manifesting it to the world. You have redemption in Christ. I've provided redemption for everybody you meet. Now go reveal redemption. Go be the liberated light of the world. And manifest and minister my redemptive plan and purpose to them. But what encouraged me to, again, I've just been looking at this, is that what's happening around us? When we watch the news, I thought about that bomber in Texas. And then a couple of people got killed at school again recently. All the stuff's going on. Again, what it seems to be is that darkness is prevailing. You see, what they didn't know, what Galatians 4 says this, Am I in the right place, Toby? Sorry, y'all. Don't mean to be lost. I have it here. My notes. I need to read my notes. Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Israel was at its darkest place. They've been crying out for their Messiah, and they carried that for all those years. They were the people of God who carried that word. And yet, what seemed to be at the darkest hour was actually the fullness of time. God's purposes have a way of always emerging from the darkest places. If it's true about us that in my weakness His strength is made perfect, that's true on the earth too. And when He says here, at Ephesians 1, that in wisdom and insight, He's made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the kind intentions which He purposed in Him, with a view to the ministration suitable to the fullness of time, don't get confused and think that darkness is winning. The whole world is pregnant with fullness of time for the completion in terms of the manifestation of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. What you're watching, what you're seeing, is Romans chapter 8. This is verse 18. After talking about the Spirit bearing witness with us, about us being fellow heirs with Christ, in verse 17, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is being revealed in us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, result of the fall, not of its own will, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom, the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth, even together until now. What are we seeing? Is the creation, all creation, fallen humanity, all creation groaning the pains of childbirth. And what we need to understand, God's given you wisdom and insight by your own salvation, your own redemption, who you are as a new creation, cleansed and made new. It gives us wisdom and insight that there's something coming. God's plan is that everything is going to come up back under Christ, summed up in Christ, get together in Christ. We'll look at this a little bit again next week, but listen to this. Listen to Colossians 1. Listen to this scripture. See if it makes any sense to you. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Verse 16, in Him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth. How were they created? In Christ. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Now, is everything on the earth living for Jesus now? No. Something happened. There was a time before the fall of man, even though there was just two of them, and before the rebellion in the heavens, Satan, where everything that was created, and everything was created in Him, everything was created by Him, and everything was created for Him. Everything was gathered up in Him and was whole and together in Him. And that changed. But if he didn't still hold things, everything together right now, he holds all things together, including you, every day, the whole thing would fall apart. But, and I pray that what I'm telling you is making sense. But he says, but in him, give us insight and wisdom into his mystery, which he's revealed in Christ with a view to administration, suitable the fullness of time, and summing up. And the word there is literally summing up again all things in Christ. There was a time when everything existed for him. There was a time when everything found wholeness in him. There was a time when he ruled as king, literally, over the heavens and the earth. There was a time, even though there were only two, that he ruled. He was had dominion. There was time. And they were called to do what? Rule and exercise dominion with him. There was a time when everything that was created by him, in him, and through him, existed for him. And we're going to see what's happening, even though you can't see it physically. Interpret the birth pain, the agonizing of all creation. That there's a birthing coming. When that birthing comes in the fullness of time, you think, well, let's do it, let's do it. We pray for it, but you know what? He's not going to be, it's not going to be a preemie. Everything is happening, though it may look dark and evil, mankind may be making terrible decisions, it's all working after the counsel of his will, which we'll see next week or the next time. It's all moving towards giving birth. I believe we're in a place of even crowning. It's not birth yet, but we're getting close. Where everything again, we'll get it together under him, in him. That's what you know, and I know. And so therefore, we may grieve, and we'll stop with this, you and I may grieve, we should grieve, when we see the fallenness of mankind and their behavior. Because the sad thing is we know it doesn't have to be. If there's a new creation, that bomber, there was a new self, a new creation, a cleansing, a forgiveness, a new creation, just waiting for him to say yes to. Luke told me about his neighbor got mugged the other day. So we don't despair. We carry hope. We carry hope. Where the church is supposed to be a sign of new creation. We're supposed to be a sign, and we're supposed to be the messenger and the carrier of redemption. As a sign to the world, there is hope. Decreeing to the world, there is hope. So I just encourage you, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how weird it gets, light shines out of darkness. And it's from the darkest stage that God has always manifested. Okay? That's the insight and wisdom that you have. If you and I are in a voice of hope, if all we do is surround people about how terrible they are, this person is, that person, this political party, that political party, one, you're going to get all stressed out. And Christians, we should grieve, but we should always, right? We have wisdom and insight into God's redemptive plan. Jesus is winning and will win. And the whole creation, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, he reconciled the world to himself. That's the word cosmos. The whole world, the whole fallen thing, went to the cross and was cleansed and died in Jesus. And a whole new creation, yet in terms of physical stuff, yet to be, when we get our new body, we're also going to get to see this whole new earth, heavens and earth. We're going to see it yet manifested. But Jesus has already taken care of it. We're just now seeing it played out in time and space. It's not that it won't get done. It's been done. We're just going to see it manifested. Amen? Okay. It's been a long day. I'm in the middle of a fast. And I asked the Lord what this fast was about. And I'm in the stages early enough in the first few days where you're kind of everything in your from here up is like wired to the hilt. Now, I had to take leave in Montgomery today and do some stuff to go see a doctor for cataract surgery. So I pray this was coherent enough to hear it. I probably should have not done the notes. Well, you've done the notes, but just ripped from not looping the notes. But I got so pumped. Spend the afternoon just going over this stuff again and going, God is a God of hope, it says. And because we're in Him, we're people of hope. And oh, guess what? By the way, because you're in Christ, and everything's summed up in Him, guess who's going to judge even the angels? You. And you're going to rule and reign with Him as the bride of Christ forever. That's part of God's redemptive plan. That's our destiny in Him. But the Lord gave me this word. I said, Lord, what's this fast about? And He said, complete victory. Those are the two words, complete victory. And at the end of the thing, I'll tell you more about it fast. But it wasn't just about me manifesting. It was about us. That God will see starting manifested complete victory over everything Jesus was victorious over. Amen.